dear listening people. Welcome back to For Real. I'm Kimberly Stewart, and I'm joined today by the beautifully gifted singer-songwriter, Megan Tibbetts. Oh man, did I love this conversation. We peeked behind the curtain of what it looks like to have a very unusual job, her upbringing as a member of a Jesus version of the Partridge Family, no joke, and how Megan keeps her head and her heart in a healthy place while working in a sphere that just tends to focus heavily on followers and platforms and perceived perfection. I just adore this woman. I'm so excited to let you listen in on my conversation with the girl with the guitar, the harp, the pipes, and the biggest heart, Megan Tibbetts. Megan Tibbetts, I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you for joining me. Thanks for having me, Kim.
I'm doing a dance because I just adore you. So thank you for taking the time. It took us a while to get on the mic because you are so busy. And I love that. I love it that you're busy. I can't wait to ask you all sorts of questions.
Oh, sweet.
Our beginnings, Megan, have a lot of staying power, right? The way we begin with our families and our hometowns, where we start. And I know, you know, we can switch some of those things up, but your beginning seems to have uniquely prepared you for the life you have. You have a weird job. And you grew up as a member of the Partridge Family.
Indeed.
Will you tell me about that and tell our listeners about that, this grand beginning?
Yes. So I grew up in a small town of Caro, Michigan, and my mom and dad, my mom was a teacher, my dad was a banker. They quit their jobs. We got a motorhome. We threw a bunch of crazy instruments in the back and became a family band.
Of course you did.
And toured around the Midwest mainly. Sometimes we'd do a tour to California or the coast, either coast, but So Living Truth was our name.
Unbelievable.
And 5 shows a week, Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night, 2 on Sundays.
Oh my God.
Thought it was a normal life for a kid.
Okay. I have so many questions about this. You have said just like the bullet point version of that at the Oaks a couple times. I want to know, first of all, so this was your mom, your dad, your sister.
Mm-hmm. And my aunt, my uncle.
And your aunt and your uncle.
Yes.
Okay. So how old were you when this started?
They started before I was born. And okay. So I grew up into it.
I was born
into the band.
Okay. And so do you know anything about how this worked? Like, did your mom and dad sit people down at dinner and say, here's the thing. I know I'm an accountant and a teacher. Is that what your dad is? Banker and a teacher. But now we're going to play the banjo. Like, how does that happen?
Right. So my mom was in a family band also.
Oh my God.
So they were called, her maiden name was Bauman. They were called the Bauman Bread of Life Bearers. Because she had 7 brothers and sisters. Her dad was a band director and her mom was an evangelist at 15.
Wow.
So the band director, my grandpa band director, said every kid will learn a different instrument. So sure. They were kind of like a band, like a proper band. So my mom played the French horn, like they're, you know, so they would go on the road. They would play the music and my grandma would preach the word.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And so it was kind of just maybe a normal thing to do. So I think when when my mom was in college, she was in bands and my dad was like, you know, a rocker, in Minnesota,
a rocker banker, often a goes
rocker
together.
Banker sure. In Minnesota, drove to Michigan, found Jesus on the way to Michigan, met my mom. I think they just, you know, sat around fireplaces and played music and that's how they fell in love. So it's kind of like being a band was maybe
in the
natural.
Blood? Yeah. Yeah. I would say that is an unbelievable story. And I love it that you just, that was completely normal for you.
Yep.
So here's my question for you. Do you, I mean, clearly you've exited the womb with a
The euphonium pushed into your face. Learn how to do this, kid.
Exactly.
But there's definitely a leaning. But have you ever gone through a time when you thought, this is for the birds? Like, forget my family legacy. Or was this always a foregone conclusion? I will be a full-time musician. That's my life.
No, for some reason, it didn't click when I became an adult that that was an option for me. So we came off the road when I was in about sixth grade. So my sister and I could be normal kids and play sports and do plays like normal kids, yeah. Right?
Right.
sure. And so when I went to college, I went to college for a music education degree. I graduated with my bachelor's degree in K-12 music education. I was going to stay in Michigan and be a teacher. It didn't occur to me that I could do music as a job performing. And so
why do you think, Megan? Why not?
Maybe I didn't have my family for the family band. I don't know. I don't know what the disconnect was. Yeah. But it just wasn't. Even a boyfriend broke up with me and he said, we're not going to work because you're going to go and be a musician. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm going to stay here and be a teacher. That wasn't a thought for me. So how interesting that I am here in Los Angeles being a musician now.
Turns out you were headed that way.
Turns out he broke up with me for a good reason.
How about that he knew that before you knew that?
Literally, like a little prophetic maybe. I don't know.
That's super interesting to me. That's such an interesting story to me because I also never considered being a writer, certainly not a novelist. Who does that, right? I didn't know anyone doing that, but you knew people doing this. And so that's interesting that it took a bit.
Yeah. It happened by accident. The Lord is so kind, Kim. The Lord is kind because if he would have told me to move to LA, I would have had so many reasons not to, and maybe tried to be like, oh, you meant this, right? You meant stay in Michigan and teach, right? Right. By going to LA.
Michigan, Los Angeles. They sound a lot alike.
Michigan, Angeles. Yeah. So, but what happened was I graduated college a little bit late. Thank you, music degree, for having one credit for class. my friend had convinced me to make a little EP, a little 5-song EP. I had written songs my whole life, but I never thought about putting it out. So he was like, make this EP. I was like, okay, if you force me to, sure. And so I did, had my little EP release party, got on a plane the next day, told my friends, hey, I'm just going to LA to visit. My sister lived there at the time. I'll see you in 2 weeks, you know? So I go to LA and I never come home.
How long ago was that?
That was now about 14 years.
More than 2 weeks.
More than 2 weeks. They're still waiting with their porch lights on for me to come home.
Turns out you found your spot. I love that. I love it when God tricks us into doing what we should.
That's literally what he did, Kim. He tricked me. The most gracious trick of life.
Right. I mean, he's kind about it, but I think sometimes he thinks you're not going to do this unless I help you. So,
yep.
Okay. So you're in LA and you are now, you make beautiful music. Your most recent song just released last week from when we're recording. I'm so excited. We're going to talk all about that. I would love to hear a little bit about how this works. So particularly the creative process. I'm fascinated by that because I spent a lot of time with writing and with words on paper and, building things from scratch. And so I'm always interested in how other creatives do that in other spheres or other genres. So for example, I feel like writers have quite a bit of outside pressure. So in other words, I need to have a presence on social media and I need to be doing speaking engagements and, writing newsletters or things like that, a host of things that don't necessarily, they're not the writing, but they're important to be able to continue to do the writing. So I'm positive that your life has that too, right? Most creative lives have that. And maybe it's even more that you feel that more heavily in LA. How does that work for you? Do you have things like that? Does the music business require you to kind of balance that pressure of things that make the plate spin, but they're not actually the plate. Does that make sense?
Oh my goodness. Every part of that is correct. There is so much else to do that there is not a lot of space left for what I actually want to do.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
the creative
gosh,
part, the writing of the song. Like, we gotta post on Instagram, and now there's another platform. We gotta figure that one out. And now we gotta make all of the surrounding things, but also nobody's gonna listen or wanna work with me if I don't have a presence on there. So now I have to put my creativity into what do I post? And then how do I market it? What's the business side? How am I also affording to eat dinner
on the daily while you're making these things?
Because these things that I like to do don't make me money yet. So I have to do this. So it's been 10 years of that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So how do you do that? Asking for a friend myself, because that you just described all that you described what I am doing in my own life, but also what our coaching clients are doing. And when we go to writers retreats and just other friends who are writers in that sphere, they're not writing songs, but they're saying exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
The hustle of trying to figure out how to remain in front of people when the work is actually not in front of people. Like the actual creation of people, of your work or of your song, your chapter is very alone.
Yes.
So how do you balance that? Please tell me.
Man, can you tell, I think reverse card. Can you tell me?
No, I sure don't know. I mean, I guess it makes me feel good that I'm not the only one. I'm sorry that it's for you too.
No. And we're in this together, and I feel like all creatives are in this together. So let this be an encouragement to a listener who is feeling this way, but it's also maybe a little bit spiritual, because I feel like the physical representation of what we're doing, a lot of it's underground, a lot of it's under the surface. Nobody sees it. You feel like, what the heck am I doing? And then you're building this character, this person that you are becoming, and God is doing things in our character on the underground. Nobody can see it, because if we get above ground without the character to sustain what we're doing, then we are crushed by the weight of all of it. And so I don't know, in this moment, I'm hoping that there is an encouragement even for me that the underground work is so important. And so we can build something really beautiful in the incubation time that can sustain where we're going when we get above ground.
Yeah. And there is some sort of comfort in knowing that we are not alone, that we are, mm-hmm. that our friendship is sustaining, but also that the God who wired us really does not care one whit about who's looking and who's applauding and who's not. So like remembering that over and over, who am I working for really?
Yes.
That's a good reset.
Whose applause is really going to matter at the end of the day, and not change every moment when we succeed or not.
That's the truth.
Hey everybody, just a quick break here to let you know about a fun resource for all of you visual people. Did you know that you can watch For Real on YouTube? It's true. You can see when I'm wheeze laughing off camera, take note of when the lawnmower kicks up outside my window, and see all of these conversations unfold in real time. So if you are more of a watcher than a listener, head on over to the Kimberly Stewart YouTube channel and pop some corn. We will be happy to see you there. And now back to the conversation.
Let's talk about your love life.
Oh, let's talk about it.
A little bit of a pivot. I have had the honor of meeting your delightful fiance, Teddy, whom I love not the way you do, but he is so great. You guys are a phenomenal couple. I just adore him and you together. Here's a quick side note that I will always be campaigning for you to release an album together. I've been in the room and swooning to a point of being a little bit creeper groupie.
I love it.
When you
love
guys sing together, you do until I have a restraining order. So I just would like for you to just oblige me sometime and make an album.
Yes.
You
guys, well, family band is in the blood, Kim. Okay. So I think it's bound to happen.
Okay, I feel good about that. It does sound, it seems rather inevitable.
Right.
So here is my question about you and Teddy. You have a growing career. You are busting down doors and knocking on doors and writing beautiful music and performing it and traveling. Teddy's doing the same thing. He does his own thing and his own travel and his own work. So you, and you're in love. So I'm so curious about this, how you do that well, because you're kind of in adjacent fields. I mean, you're doing kind of some of the same thing. How do you encourage each other and inspire each other, but at the same time have that kind of autonomy to do your own thing and cheer each other on with that?
Yes, that is such an interesting place to be. So for the listener, I just got recently engaged to my fiance, Teddy. And,
so great.
And he is a musician. Right now he's on tour with Andy Grammer as his keyboardist, guitar, dancing, singing extravaganza. So, so he goes on tour for a month or more at a time. So, and then he just recently got back and now I'm going to leave. So it is quite the thing to figure out. And it's interesting because it's a space that keeps us always encouraged because we are each other's cheerleader. And yet it's a space also to experience the utmost humility because, our careers kind of, they're going like this together in a similar direction. But when his is high, I'm like, who am I? What am I doing? I should quit. When mine is high, you know, it's this ebb and flow of figuring out how to walk together and encourage each other when also we're trying to, yes, do our thing. And eventually we do want to do music together and tour together, and we have some songs out together, and it's interesting, the internet breaks when we do something together, and then when I do something on my own, I'm like, wait, you watched that, can you watch this? No, oh, I'm boring to you. Cool. My harp isn't enough for you. Cool.
Listen, people love. So we know you're in love. You're singing together. It's just catnip for all of us. But right. I also love your solo stuff too.
Thank you. No, it's a beautiful thing to see that people really respond to us doing something together, which is really fun. And I think that is part of the end goal is to be our duo and bring our future hopefully kiddos on the stage and. You know,
with their French
the whole
horns.
Thing. With their French okay. horns. Baby French horns.
Yeah, that's really creepy. Don't do that. I just want you to know you're very, very sweet to act like you two just, you know, sing some songs together. And it's so nice and people like it that you're together. And I'm just going to say, how can I be polite to every person I've ever heard in karaoke? There are a lot of people who think they can do what you're doing. And I would say 99.9% of them are, it's just a really good thing to keep in home.
You're so nice.
You two, it's not just that you two are phenomenal musicians together. Separately, you are ridiculous. I mean, you just have phenomenal voices. The intuition of how you approach the music and the storytelling, I mean, it is so stinking good. So you didn't say that part, but I will say that part. It's ridiculous. Your
Thank
voice,
you.
Ridiculous. And I love it in the best kind of ridiculous. So,
yay.
Okay, Megan, you have the weirdest job and we would love a peek behind the curtain of how this actually works. And I have two parts of this question. One, what are some of the most fantastic experiences you've had in this job? So maybe that's, you know, performance experiences alone or with other musicians, or maybe in a particular venue or a particular season of your life. You just take that wherever you want. Mm-hmm. A highlight reel. And then Two, I would also like to hear about the times when, just as you mentioned, you have wondered, what am I doing? Yes. Isn't it time to not do this? It's too hard. I don't want to do it. So I would love for you to keep that real, because I know lots of folks who are interested in music. Even in my own family, my mom is a musician, and she was a wonderful classical musician, still is. But she always said to me, you only go into music if you cannot happily do anything else.
Wow.
Because the intimation to her was, this is a hard road. This is going to be a little rough. And so you need to have just to know anything else will not quite be enough for me. So I'm sure there have been moments when you've thought, maybe this isn't enough for me. So both sides, the highlight reel and also the keep it real reel.
The keep it real reel, let me keep it real for a second, because that is this week. Yeah. I'm like, I give up.
Yes.
I've had enough. Yeah. Had enough no's. I've had not enough yeses. Lord, are you giving me the green light to go back and work at Cold Stone?
Right. Happy where and I did caloric. Yeah. Right. That's my question. Totally. And I think people need to hear that, because if we only see the pretty parts, it's just easy to think, oh, well, this is just a really clear trajectory. She got in the band and then everything's gone up from there.
It is a constant, humbling. I think the Lord is sweetly, annoyingly intentional with his ways of keeping us humble. Because here's what I have to remember. He cares about me. So he cares about what I care about, but he is not concerned about my success in the way that the world is concerned about it. And I am so concerned about my success in the way that the world sees it. Right. I am a people pleaser. I am what does everyone else think? Do they think I'm doing okay? Okay, cool. Then I'm doing okay. And so the Lord is constantly reminding me, hey, like Megan, I love you. At the end of your life, what we have built together, that's lasts and matters. And now that we have the internet, your song might still be on the internet for after you go, but also Instagram probably won't exist. And also TikTok won't be a thing. And also Spotify will be singing in space. I don't know. So this stuff doesn't actually matter to me, Megan. So can we come back to what matters? So, yes, the road is tough and I struggle with that daily. The highlight reel is what sometimes I need to remind myself of the good things. I don't know. I might be naturally on the side that forgets the things that have gone well.
For sure. That is like,
there could be 10 things that go well and one thing and one comment on Instagram that says shave your arms. And
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did you just say that hypothetically, or
that's real? The internet is a
Megan. That is not a true story.
It's a true story. I post this really encouraging, like this is what God's teaching me. First of all, people are like, you don't have your harp. I don't want to listen. And then my arm is in the picture. And yes, I have hair on my arms.
No,
I don't shave my arms. And people, you don't need to point that out, my friends.
Hold on a minute. I think it's time for the Iowan to say something. Is that LA? Do people in LA shave their arm?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you.
You just said it like it was a confessional. I have hair in my arms. I don't shave it. Okay. Do everybody hear me? Do you hear me, listeners? It is time to step away from the Google comments. It's time to step away from the comments section. You missed it. You missed what she was saying. You were looking at the follicles on her forearms. Oh, Megan, I'm so sorry. I mean, I have my versions of those, but you're right. And there's something about that added visual component that is like a minefield. It's a minefield for me. I mean, it is I have to push all the time my own heart to be like, it's not the important part. It's not the important part. Yes. Yeah. Look at the age spots. Look at the wrinkles. Mm-hmm. That means that you're still alive and have had a beautiful life. You know what I'm saying? Because the feedback initially is this, like, for me, it's a fear of they're not going to hear me because they're looking at my wrinkles or they're looking at the furniture, my
the hair on my forearms.
I mean, I didn't even have that on my list. Do I need any
more? Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
But all that to say, have some compassion, you guys. I mean, people watch, especially if you are weighing into someone who has to do this for their job. Mm-hmm. Just a little compassion, a little bit of humanity, really trying to hear the message and not stare at the messenger. So I hear you. I hear
you. So all that to say, I have trouble looking over the one thing, but the highlight reel, God is kind, Kim. When if I were to tell Megan even 3 years ago, what would I have, the stages that I would have been, the people that I would have worked with, I would have passed out.
Isn't so that so I am, beautiful?
It's beautiful. And God is kind. Even the way you and I met, working with Bob Goff. Are you kidding me? I remember sitting in my break room working at a fireman's credit union as a nobody. In the break room, it was the only book I could afford. I picked it up at Barnes & Noble because it had balloons on the front. And I was just this huge fan of Bob. And the way he wrote made me want to live my life with passion. And now we together get to just call him friend and go to his retreat center. And
you've toured with him. And I'm so excited that you said, Megan, that even 3 years ago, I'm returning to this over and over again in my heart and my head lately, the idea of remembering. And that I'm so bad at that. I'm gunning for something, even praying for something. And then the moment passes and all I can see is in front of me.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the second to look back and think, oh my gosh, look at the track record of God's faithfulness. That's ridiculous. Yes. And you and I met about three years ago. And you were just starting to say, I don't know. I think I'm going to be done. I'm almost done. This has been too hard. And the time between that conversation by a fire pit to now, I love, yes, God is good. And also you are working your tushy off. And those two things are beautiful in tandem together. So I love watching your successes. I love seeing when you are performing with these heroes of yours and that they're the ones saying, dang, Megan Tibbetts, how about that? So that is so much fun for me. And it's also so fun to hear you talk about it now because someone else listening is at the fire pit moment.
Yeah.
Right. They also need to think, man, is there anything left of this crazy dream? And there are folks who maybe tuned in halfway through. Right. So all they see is that you're on stage with Brandon Lake or you're on stage with Jonathan McReynolds, like big people. Maybe if they just start there, they don't know about all the hours, all the years, all the tears, all the work that went into that. And so it's so fun to hear you talk about it today because I've had a little bit of a front row seat to see different points on that roller coaster.
You sure have.
You mentioned young Megan. And if you would have told her what a crazy life you have, I've had the very extreme joy of reading some early bits of what you are writing right now in your upcoming book. And so I've gotten to get to know you a little bit through the eyes of younger Megan. I want you to talk to me about 85-year-old Megan. Who's that? What is she going to be saying when she's sitting on the front porch or in front of millions of people still telling stories, still singing songs? What's that woman like? What's your hope?
Oh my gosh. I have never thought about that in my life. And that is a very beautiful way to think about life. Kim, can I just say, you are an extraordinary woman.
No.
You, listeners.
Thank you.
Do you understand the gift that you have right now to be listening to Kim and her wisdom and her kindness? If you ever have the joy of meeting her, it's the same. Kim blows me away every time that I talk to her. So just
you are way too
throwing
kind to
that
me.
Nugget, even the fact that you would have the wisdom to ask something like this. Wow. Anyway, so 85-year-old Megan, oh, Jesus, let her be. Let her be at peace. Let her be content. Let her see what is important and be focused on and remind the Megan of now of what actually matters. Because so much of this that concerns me and brings tears to my eyes on a regular daily basis of stress and frustration, 85-year-old Megan's like, oh, yeah, sweet Megan, that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is the way you love people and how you make people feel and that someone would leave a conversation with you encouraged and lifted up and having hope for their life and realizing how beautiful they are. And 85-year-old Megan is just reminding people of what matters and that they matter and that all at the end of the day that remains is love and being at peace with life and where God has brought you and not envying other people's stories, but actually living the fullness of your own. Because what, how do we get to breathe this air and be in family and come across the things in life that God has custom made us to come across? So that is 85-year-old Megan. Oh my gosh. I love her. I love her.
That's awesome. Me too. I will be 178 when you're 85, but I hope I still know you.
I'm building, but the walls, they take forever. I guess I painted over wallpaper instead of scraping it off. I'm filling. Thought it would be easier to cover up holes by hanging pretty things on the wall. I had to do a little bit of undoing to do it right. I had to do a little bit of unlearning to see the light.
Megan, usually I end our conversations by asking a very nerdy book question about books that people love. And you are welcome to talk about books you love. But because you are a musical artist, I would love to hear the music version of that question. So it's always a two-parter. One, what artist or song do you return to over and over? I mean, something you love, it could be more than one thing, that you love, that you recommend to people, or that, you know, you've been listening for a long time and you're still like, oh my gosh, this is such good music. Okay. So that's part one.
Yes.
Part two, something that you're recently discovering or looking forward to coming out on the shelves pretty soon. Like, what's exciting for you now?
As a consumer of music and as
consumer.
Musician.
Okay. Consumer, totally consume.
I love that. So I will always come back to listen to John Mayer.
Okay.
He and Sarah Bareilles are the reason that I write music and Brooke
Fraser.
Okay. Because the way that they tell a story with their lyrics, okay. It's like in John Mayer's song, My Stupid Mouth, you are at the table on this awkward date with him. Playing chess with the salt and pepper shakers. How does he transport me into a restaurant in the most awkward, you can't make eye contact experience?
Like
the
way I just feel that talking about hearing you, I'm having hives. So yeah, some good writing, right?
Yes. So the way he and Sarah Bareilles write move me. They transport me into the place that they are. Split screen sadness. We are across right now. We are splitting the screen and we are talking and we get to connect, but we don't get to be in person. And then just Sarah Bareilles like captures the intensity of the human emotion and makes it the most beautifully sonic thing that you have ever heard.
So cool. Bluebird. I hope they're hearing this, Sarah.
Literally, John. Sarah John. Hi, I love you. You're the reason I do music. No big deal. And so, yes, those are, I will always come back. I will always come back to John Mayer. Nickel Creek is someone, a group that I will also always come back to.
I used to love them. I need to brush them off. That's some wonderful songwriting there too. Okay, great. Awesome.
So those are the classics. Yes. Artists that I'm loving these days, I just discovered this artist, Chris Renzema, and I hope to work with him soon. Have you listened to his music?
My daughter, Anna, loves him. She's headed to see him in concert pretty soon.
Yes.
Is he from Michigan? No.
He wrote there's a song about Michigan, so I have to look that up. Have that I'm connection. Not sure.
Okay, right. But you like him. You like his music.
I love him. I feel like, you know, when maybe you've experienced this, you read a book and you're like, wait, in another life, I think I wrote that book.
Yeah,
but totally. But also I kind of wish I could have written that too.
Right.
So I feel like some of his songs, I'm like, excuse me, did you read my journal entries and write my heart song?
I love without it. Without me? That's a huge compliment to him. Because he's tapping into something super specific and yet universal. So hard to do.
Totally. That's great. He has a song called Let the Ground Rest. And it's basically like, hey, if this, you're striving, but how it works in crops is sometimes you got to stop planning for a second.
Let it
and just let it rest.
Yep. That's right.
What? And then he has a song called The Right Things. And it says, I want to hold on to the right things and let go of the rest. That's what 85-year-old Megan is still singing.
Totally.
So that's my newest discovery that Lord Jesus, I will work with him.
All the people we've mentioned, please call Megan. She's ready.
Yes. John, Sarah. Amen.
Ready. Amen. Megan Tibbetts, thank you so much for joining me on For Real. You are a gift to me. I love hanging out with you in real life and on a split screen. And I just love watching what's happening with you and knowing there's so much grit behind it and so much prayer and just the most open heart. So Godspeed to you. I hope that your music gets into the millions and millions of ears that need to hear it. So thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. You are a joy of my life. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I get to know you, let alone do these fun things with you and be living life together. You are a blessing and a gift of a human being. These listeners, please go anywhere Kim is speaking because I will shout her name from the mountaintop forever. So
she's amazing. Getting ridiculous. Thank you, Megan. You are way too kind to me. Thanks for being on For Real.
Thank you for having me.
Isn't she just a gem? And listen, as a very special perk to our listeners, Megan performed her new single, Solid Ground, just for us. Head over to my YouTube channel and you'll find the video of Megan's insider living room session. Thank you, Megan, for being so kind to us. Okay, I'm signing off for now, but come back soon. We have so much more fun coming down the pike and you don't want to miss any of it. We'll keep the door open, the table set with lots of extra spaces, and we so hope you will be there to join in for all of it. For real.